Thank you and good afternoon, everyone. So our subject for tonight has two sides to it, and we'll consider them in turn. Firstly, we'll look at a man called Abraham, who was mentioned in our reading just then, who lived many centuries ago and to whom were promises given by God. We'll look at what these promises were and how they affected Abraham. And then we'll turn to the second side, how these promises are important to you and me today. This is the subject of the New Testament reading we had to start, which we'll come back to. First, though, we must turn all the way back to the first book of the Bible, to Genesis, to find out about the origin of these promises. So if we go back to chapter 11 of Genesis, where we find Abraham mentioned amongst a family living in Ur. So Genesis 11 and verse 27. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. We can see on the map that Ur was a city in the area of modern Iraq, around the Persian Gulf. And when was this? Around 2,000 years before Christ, before Rome, before Nebuchadnezzar, before David, and before Moses. This man Abraham was living with his family in Ur when he receives instructions from God. He is to leave Ur and go wherever God commands him. He is told that when he does this, blessings will come upon him. And that's what we read in chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Abraham is obedient to the call and leaves Ur to travel to the land of Canaan, which we now know as the land of Israel. And then if we flick on to chapter 13, he separates from his nephew Lot, and God speaks to him again. Here Abraham is promised a seed that is innumerable as the dust of the earth. And he is promised that the land will be given to him. So far then, Abraham has been promised that of him will be made a great nation, that he will be blessed, that his name will be great, that those that bless him will be blessed, and those that curse him will be cursed, that he will be a blessing so that all families of the earth will be blessed in him. His seed will be innumerable, and the land of Canaan will belong to him and his seed forever. Now these promises are particularly remarkable when we consider that at this point Abraham and his wife Sarah had not had any children. And in fact, Abraham asks God about this in chapter 15. If we look at chapter 15 and verse 3. And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the words of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. So here God reaffirms his promises, that Abraham would have a seed that would become innumerable as the stars in the sky. What was Abraham's response? He believed God. And it was because of this belief in and obedience to God's words that Abraham is accounted righteous. Then in verse 18, God makes a covenant with Abraham concerning the land, that from the Nile to the Euphrates, the land was given to Abraham's seed. See that in verse 18. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, "Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates." If you turn on now to chapter 17, you'll find that thus far I've been misnaming Abram as Abraham. But in chapter 17, the name is changed. So Genesis 17 and verse 1. "And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee." And so the name is changed to show God's covenant to make Abraham a father of many nations, because Abraham means father of many nations. And then further promises are given in verse 6. "I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God." So we see in these promises that kings will come from Abraham, and an everlasting covenant will be established with him and with his seed. Note the promise is everlasting, as we saw in chapter 13, that the land will be given to him and his seed forever. And so this explains why Paul is writing about it 2,000 years later in Galatians chapter 3, and why these things are important to me and you today. They haven't expired. And note further down in chapter 17, where the focus shifts to Abraham's wife, Sarah, and the son they are promised. If we look at verse 15, "And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her." They are promised a son through Sarah, that she should be a mother of many nations, and that kings should come from her also. And this is especially remarkable, as Abraham sees, given that Sarah is now 90 years old and without child. God continues with reference to Isaac, the promised son that was not yet born. The covenant God has made with Abraham will continue through Isaac and his seed. But it's not until chapter 21 when the first piece of these promises comes to fulfillment. So if we turn forward to Genesis 21 and verse 2. "For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac." So, a son, Isaac, is born to Abraham and Sarah as God had promised. In chapter 22, though, Abraham is told to take Isaac and offer him as a sacrifice. Abraham is obedient once more, but at the last moment an angel stops him and provides a ram to offer in his place. It's after this incident that the last of the promises to Abraham is given, in Genesis 22 and verse 16, where the angel says to him, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." So further, Abraham is promised that he would be blessed, that his seed would be multiplied as the sand which is upon the seashore, and that his seed would possess the gate of his enemies. And notice here that there are effectively two seeds. There's one that's innumerable as the stars of the heaven, and one that is singular, a he who will possess the gate of his enemies. So these are the promises to Abraham. As we've seen, this is not something that comes up in passing in Genesis. This is a major feature of what we find written in Scripture. And if we were to try and summarize these promises to Abraham over these chapters, we might categorize them into four key themes which recur in these promises to Abraham. Firstly, that there will be a great nation and an innumerable seed to come from Abraham. Second, that Abraham and his seed will possess a land, the land of Canaan, or Israel. Third, that all nations of the earth are to be blessed in Abraham. And fourth, that Abraham's seed is to possess the gates of his enemies. Now the story of Abraham and Isaac continues as we read through the book of Genesis. Reference continues to be made to these promises to Abraham. In Genesis 26, for example, God speaks to Isaac. Genesis 26 and verse 24, where it says, "And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake." And then Isaac has a son called Jacob, who God appeared to in Genesis 28. You see that in Genesis 28 and verse 13. Where we read, "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east, and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed." And so we have echoes of the promises to Abraham given to his grandson Jacob also, as we follow the seed of Abraham through time. And Jacob eventually becomes known as Israel. And then Israel's sons formed the 12 tribes of Israel and became a national group known as the Children of Israel. And if we turn to the New Testament, to Acts chapter 7, we find a sort of synopsis of this. So Acts chapter 7 and verse 2. Here Stephen is recounting some of the history of Israel. And he said, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans, and dwelt in Haran. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land, wherein ye now dwell. And he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession, and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child." And Stephen goes on to talk about Israel going into Egypt and being brought out again by Moses. But by this time, Abraham was long dead. And as Stephen says, God gave him no inheritance in his lifetime, no, not so much as to set his foot on. It's this unfinished business that leads us into why these things are important for you and me today. And we get a consistent story also in Hebrews. If we look at Hebrews chapter 11, a chapter that talks about the faithful. So Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise." And so again we see faith or belief and obedience of Abraham, their dwelling in tents. Why? Because in verse 10 it says, "For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." And so he was obedient, staying in Canaan, dwelling in tents. And then verse 13 of Hebrews 11 says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." So Abraham believed in the promises, but has not received them yet. And so, as God cannot lie, these promises must be fulfilled, but have not yet come to pass. Let's turn now to our reading in Galatians chapter 3 to see how these things are important for us. Now in Galatians, Paul is making a key point that faith in Christ is the way to righteousness. And he's made that in chapter 2 and verse 16. He says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law." And that's a key point that's built on in Galatians chapter 3. That faith, that believing in God and his word, is the way to justification and righteousness. It's not doing the works of the law. And so if we start in verse 5 of Galatians 3, Paul says, "He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith?" And then he gives an example from Genesis. Verse 6, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." And so Abraham is given as an example of faith that God approved of, and that he counted him as righteous for his belief in him, for his faith. And so, verse 7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And so the faithful are those that follow after Abraham's example. And they're called here Abraham's children. So it's not necessarily those that can point to Abraham back in their family tree, but it's those that exhibit the same faith that are called Abraham's children. And then verse 8 says, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. And so here we have the heathen, all nations, being justified through faith. And now this is a key point, because it shows that it's not just to Jews or to the nation of Israel that came out of Egypt 3,500 years ago, but these blessings are open to all nations. And it's referred to as the gospel that was preached unto Abraham. And if we look at Acts chapter 8, we sort of can try and understand what's meant by the gospel being preached unto Abraham. Because here in Acts chapter 8, we have the gospel being preached by the apostles. And so Acts chapter 8 verse 12 reads, but when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And so the gospel was those things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. And I think we can start to see both of these aspects in these promises to Abraham back in Galatians 3. We have the kingdom of God, or relating to the promise that Abraham and his seed would possess the land of Canaan, and the name of Jesus Christ being that one seed which was to provide a blessing to all nations. And so in verse 9 of Galatians 3, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And it's, if we jump forward to verse 16 of Galatians 3, we find the identity of this seed given explicitly to us. So Galatians 3:16 says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And so the one seed is Jesus Christ. And in verse 18, we see there's an inheritance. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. There we have the land being given as an inheritance. And we saw that there was a multitudinous seed and a singular seed. That single seed referred to then is Jesus Christ, says Paul. But it's not only Jesus who is impacted by this. So if we jump on again to verse 26 of Galatians 3. Paul says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So this tells us that faith that Abraham showed is the same faith that God looks for us to have in Christ Jesus. And that baptism is the way to put on Christ and to share in the promises as an act of faith and obedience that mirrors Abraham. And then verse 28 says, There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And so there we have that seed referred to in the promises to Abraham. Can it encompass all those who are Christ's? They become heirs according to the promise. This is where it's important to you and to me. We have an opportunity to join into that blessed seed of Abraham and to share in those everlasting promises. Now, how can these things be when Abraham has been dead for so long? Well, if we turn to Luke chapter 20, we see where Jesus answered a question relating to this. That's Luke chapter 20 and verse 37. Now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush, when he calleth the Lord, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. For he is not a God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him. And so, Jesus says that the dead are raised. There is a resurrection of the dead to come. That in the mind of God, Abraham is not dead, but sleeping, waiting for the resurrection. And so if we look again at these promises to Abraham, Abraham was promised a great nation and an innumerable seed to come from him. And the nation of Israel is a fulfillment of this. As they grew into a kingdom and into a people. Abraham was promised that he and his seed would possess the land of Canaan, the land of Israel, and possess it forever. If we look at Luke chapter 1, we see how the things said of Jesus fulfill this promise. So Luke 1 and verse 31, this is what the angel said when Jesus was to be born. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And so we see there the throne of David, the kingdom of Israel, promised to Jesus. That is the future fulfillment of the land being given to Abraham and to his seed. And we saw also that the seed was to possess the gate of his enemies. And again, we see that there in Jesus sitting on a throne, reigning over the house of Jacob. Of his kingdom there shall be no end, we read in verse 33. And so we see that promise is to be fulfilled in that kingdom to come. And the fourth promise, that all nations of the earth are to be blessed in Abraham. Well, we've seen how we can all be part of that seed and join in that blessing. But if we turn to Isaiah chapter 2, we also see how this blessing will be a blessing for all nations of the earth. So Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. So we see that promised time of peace that will be a blessing to all nations of the earth. Let's finally then turn back to Hebrews chapter 11. We've been thinking about those who have faith and are therefore joined into the seed of Abraham. And Hebrews 11 ends with these words about those that have died in faith. Hebrews 11 verse 39. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. And so, Abraham's seed is all those that believe and are baptized. The time is now to join ourselves to Christ and become heirs according to the promise.